Here with me in this interview, I'm speaking with Andy May. And Andy, what do you do for Fluidigm, first of all?
So I'm the group leader of the DNA sequencing sample preparation group in the research and development arm of the company.
Now, you're working in this research and development area on some new products for the company, and as I understand it, this is going to help researchers of any type that would be using your products make some better decisions. So in order to kind of get to that point, why don't you first of all tell me what it is you're currently working on, your primary main project?
Absolutely. So we have we currently have two product lines that we're working on here. One of them is called Slingshot, and it's a very accurate method of measuring concentrations of DNA samples. The second product, which is the primary focus of my group at the moment, is called the Access Array. And what that allows you to do is to generate, it streamlines the preparation of small regions of DNA for sequencing using the current generation of sequencing platforms. There's been a huge change in the technology used for DNA sequencing in recent years, and people are really looking for new ways and improved methods for developing, for introducing samples into those instruments. And that's really what my group's focused on.
Now, we've mentioned the term next generation sequencing. Is that how we would describe what it is you're working on?
So, when the human genome was first sequenced, they used a method that's commonly known as Sanger sequencing. There was a set of instrumentation that was developed by a number of companies that used fairly straightforward mechanics to actually sequence to sequence stretches of DNA. In recent years, there's been a huge change in the technologies that are used for DNA sequencing, and the rate at which people can measure sequence information has changed dramatically, by orders and orders of magnitude over the last 5 years. There are leaders in that. 454, Illumina, Applied Biosystems each have instruments that can sequence the equivalent of an entire genome in the order of a week, with equivalent accuracy to the original generation. And so people refer to these technologies now as next generation sequences because they came on. It's a little bit like Star Trek, you know, it's the next generation.
That's right. Well, looking at what you're doing, how is this going to benefit, say, your existing customers that are already using the Fluidigm system, as we've referred to it? What does this take it to another step, and what are the benefits that they'll get from that?
Absolutely. So the Slingshot application is really an extension of one of the existing chip platforms that we call the Digital Array. So this is something that we've used for a variety of different applications in the genetic analysis field. And in the context of the next generation sequencing, what that is doing is allowing people to really... So the next generation sequences require accurate measurements of the concentration of your sample before you introduce them into the sequencer. And the Slingshot system and application really provides the ultimate capability to do that. You can measure individual molecules in the solution. The Access Array is a bit of a change for us in terms of our technology, in that whereas our previous chips that have been used for genotyping and gene expression simply allow you to measure fluorescence coming out of wells in the chip, the Access Array allows you to carry out biochemical reactions inside the chip. But then we've designed a series of microfluidic pumps into that chip that allow you to recover those experiments from the chip and then do other things with them afterwards. So it's really a shift for us in terms of our ability to help people streamline their workflow. So whereas previously we were a measurement, they were all measurement devices, now we're almost a production device. It really changes the way what people can do. They can still take measurements from that chip, but once they've taken that measurement, they can then recover the material and push it into, for example, a second generation sequencer. So that's how it really extends from what we've done previously.
Is how close are we to having this new technology available, or is it already?
So we have we've done a number of proof of concept studies with early access customers. And those have been going very well. We've had some great data back. This quarter we've sold a number of systems. We sold a number of systems before the product was launched, actually. It's now on general release. It's out being sold by our sales force. We've already positioned a number of systems in the last couple of weeks, actually. So it's right on the cusp of going out to the public.
Well, I know in talking with the founder of your company that he really sees what you're doing as having some great positive benefits to help people, and regardless of where they live, but maybe even especially in areas that might be climate challenged, let's say, with new varieties of seed and things that would come out of a lot of this research being done. How would you characterize what you're working on, what we're talking about here? How's that going to impact ultimately the ability to create some of these new products, or which could be things like varieties of seeds, or maybe genetics in animals that are used for food consumption?
So that there are two ways it impacts that. There's currently a fairly extensive effort in the agricultural community to sequence the genomes of agriculturally important crops and animals. And what that really drives to is it allows people to understand the basic biology behind those crops themselves. But as you start to sequence more and more of those species, you're going to start to understand where the differences are in them. And so, for example, there was a study just recently where a group in England managed to sequence regions from an ancient barley, which had survived for thousands of years while it was trying to be selected against. And it survived in times of drought, in large temperature fluctuation. And what they're trying to do is use that information to see whether to try and apply that to existing crops to see if that's useful. So where we fit into that is obviously there are thousands of possible genomes that could be sequenced. There are thousands of variants that need to be looked at. And so again, the slingshot side of things really helps streamline that genome. Sequencing process. What the Access Array does is a little twist on that, in that once you know what the general regions are across a number of species that contain variants that may be of interest, what the Access Array allows you to do is then focus on those regions and sequence them from thousands and thousands of samples. So if for example you were in a selection experiment and you were trying to find out whether a particular gene has changed during that selection process, what it will allow you to do is to look specifically at that region and find out what changes have taken place in the genetic code of that plant or animal that have caused the change that you've been selecting for. And that's really what it gets down to, is it allows you to focus on discovering what's important rather than looking at the whole organism across those thousands and thousands of variants. So it's really a question of focus, I think.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to learn about some of this new technology that you're working on, and I think people would agree you're very passionate about it, and it really helps to have somebody so involved with that enthusiasm explain it. And give us a perspective of how this is going to be beneficial in this industry of agriculture that we're talking about. So that's Andy May here with Fluidigm at the headquarters, and I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.